This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
It's Chuck and Cherno.
It's 3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt Lanta and the King. Yeah.
It's Chuck and Cherno. It's Chuck and Cherno on the fan.
Driving home, Atlanta is a traffic jam. But we got Chuck and Cherno on the fan.
It's Chuck and Chernoff. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the fan.
All right, we got it cranked up in our 3 o'clock hour with Chuck and Chernoff. Thanks for spending your Monday right here on the FAN. Our 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters podcast that's posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header, or at This Stuff Matters. .net. How's about we start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Chuck Oliver?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck.
You know what I did for the first time ever this weekend?
Tell me.
We had sex.
It's the first time you've done that?
My wife walked into the room, Matt, halfway where I watch TV. All hell, it's on.
Okay.
She dropped the towel and Hell's Bells starts playing.
Trevor Hoffman. She's coming to close out the game.
Hey, honey. No, up higher.
That's what I've always respected about you. No other local... No other local Atlanta radio town has shared some of the intimate parts of their life like you have. What was that noise?
There was no noise.
Chuck, happy truck day.
I like trucks.
I like trucks, too. The equipment truck for the Braves. Headed Sude this morning. Headed south to Northport, which means spring training is a-coming. Braves pitchers and catchers will report, I think we have 9 days till it happens, and then the baseball season is not far off in the distance. Now, for Max Fried, he will head to Northport angry, bothered, chip on his shoulder. He only got $13.5 million as he lost his arbitration case. The Braves had offered $13.5 million. Max wanted $15 million. The arbitrator looked at him and went, "You had a 2.4 ERA last season. I know you won that game 2 years ago to clinch the World Series. You've been the best lefty in baseball the last 4 years. You lose. $13.5 million. I'll never understand how the arbitration thing works.
The thumb and the finger on the forehead and
13.5. So
I didn't think 15 was a whole lot to ask. If the Braves were offering, was it 13.25? It was.
Yeah, 13.5.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, there's no meet. Everybody's like, well, I just meet in the middle. It's not how it works.
No.
The arbitrator picks a side. Like you're getting divorced. You know, the
team says here's a specific number. Player says specific number. Arbiter has to pick one of those two.
Chuck, I had a divorce thing I was working there. Like, you're getting divorced. The mediator's going to go, you're going to have to pay this. You're going to pay this. The mediator's going to pick a side.
Do they do that?
Sometimes you meet in the middle, but I've heard.
Oh.
It could happen that way.
I just bought all new furniture. It's all how it worked with me.
Huh? I understand. Welcome to Super Bowl week. Huh. It's official. We have entered Super Bowl week. The Eagles of Philadelphia.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Are a 1.5-point favorite over the Chiefs of Kansas City.
On the road to victory.
The total in the game is sitting at 50.5.
E-L-E-A-G-S, Eagles.
I will tell you, though, the week ahead of the Super Bowl, I'm very jealous of these two cities. It's one of the more fun weeks of the sports calendar if your team is in the game, and I've only had two chances in my life to have this week. Now, in both Falcons Super Bowls, I believe they were both 2 weeks between. That week off feels like it takes, you know, a year.
Oh, yeah.
But when you get to Super Bowl week, you're like, okay, the game's in sight, and it's just, it's a fun countdown. You're the center of the sports universe. And again, I've only had that twice in my life. I'm very jealous of the week the Philadelphia sports fan and the Kansas City fan will have leading up to Sunday. What happens in the game is a whole different story, but the lead up's awesome.
It is. It's, you get a chance to exhale a little bit, and then it is sort of a dedicated, structured, and you have a minute to prepare. If you really want to go kind of attend some stuff as fans, you can. It'd be expensive, and you have to stay way, way off site, but it's their stuff. It's a structured full week now versus what it used to be, and it wasn't this.
My,
I mean, like 25 years ago, it had not turned into this.
So my little two cents on this is you're better off in your home city watching with a bunch of people. The Super Bowl, it's forget corporate. It's so antiseptic, and you can't get into the parties, and you can't get into the game unless you want to pay a stupid price. And if you do, you're not going to love the atmosphere. We were in the building, all three of us. Actually, everybody in this room was in the building, all of us on the show, for Georgia and Ohio State. That atmosphere, there's not a Super Bowl that Mercedes-Benz can host that would look and feel like that. And the same kind of stakes are on the line. It's not the same.
That was Krista. I agree with you, which is why I said it can be expensive, but you can have a stellar experience if you want. So, because you can gain access at the parties extra and then game tickets and all of that.
Don't do it.
No, I would not suggest it at all. I agree with you. It's a big time of a letdown, especially with the cost, even just to have sort of a C-minus experience.
Stay in your home city with a bunch of people and have a blast.
That crystallized to me when I had so many Saints fans that I know, a lot of folks, tell me that when the Saints played the Colts, was that Tampa or Miami?
It was Miami.
And they all were going to New Orleans for the game.
Totally. Love it. Perfect.
Which is great on a Thursday in May, much less Super Bowl with the Saints in it.
The Senior Bowl was just played in Mobile over the weekend, and I will not bore you with the particulars of the Senior Bowl, but what I will tell you is
27-10, Hainer.
Chuck just bored you with it. What I will tell you, though, is that is the first real get-together of the entire offseason for the NFL. The whole NFL world is together in Mobile, of all places. So you start to get some intel on what the offseason might look like. For instance, Ari Marov, NFL insider, had a couple of interesting nuggets. Chuck, we'll call them nuggies. Apparently Stetson Bennett's stock is dropping. He talked to plenty of people in Mobile who were not happy about Stetson not showing up at the Senior Bowl. And then the double dip, of course, was getting arrested in Dallas when people were hoping to get some FaceTime with Stetson in Mobile. Now, Jim Nagy came out, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, and reiterated, we talked to Stetson's people. We told them we wanted him here, whether it was late or not. They just weren't interested. So instead, he went to work out in Dallas, and you know the rest of the story. Everybody firmly believes day three was where it was projected anyway, and how much he's going to drop because of the arrest, I guess we'll wait and see. There was some thought that he might climb up some boards. Maybe not so much now.
Screw it. We got two rings.
So that was one of the nuggies. The other one was all about Lamar Jackson. According to Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson could possibly be about $100 million apart in contract talks over the guaranteed money.
That's just the guaranteed money, and you're talking a difference. If it's a 10-year contract, that's $10 million per season every year for a damn decade.
Well, I don't think it's going to be 10 years, though. I think we're talking about a 5 or 6 year deal. That's what I think we're looking at, right?
You didn't want a 10-year, $450 million deal?
I don't think they're going to give him 10. I don't think anybody's going to give him. It's not like Mahomes. I think the Mahomes stuff in Kansas City is like, I think Baltimore wants to do a 5 or 6. What was the Deshaun years in Cleveland? Was it 6?
And 242,
I think you're in that range. So start doing that times the amount of guaranteed that he wants.
He's young. He's 26, man.
I know. So
anyways, hell of a lot of money.
Fowler writes, quote, it could become a standoff.
Already has.
Because I wouldn't expect him to sign a tag for a while, according to one AFC exec. They'll be so far apart in the guaranteed money that it's going to be hard to close the gap. No one in Mobile seemed to know what the Ravens will end up doing with Lamar or how Lamar will react if the contract talks continue to go this way. But Ari Marov said, I asked a few people where they wanted to see Jackson next season. The overwhelming answer, the Atlanta Falcons. And the responses were because they made the strong push for Deshaun. It makes sense. Jackson could be very effective with Pitts in London. The run scheme with Arthur Smith is incorporated. It would just be a perfect fit. So if you're connecting those dots, that makes, again, a ton of sense. They have money, a big quarterback need. Arthur Smith's system, all that is just perfect for Lamar. At least that was the talk coming out of Mobile. I'll be very honest with the audience. I did not see a moment of the Pro Bowl games for 4 days. So if somebody did, you'll fill me in. I heard about dodgeball. I heard about kick-tack-toe.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Precision passing. I didn't. Like, wait, did I miss anything of value? Because you said you watched a minute of this.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you for that dynamite report. Very good. The basketball weekend, I'll do it very quickly. Hawks won in Utah on Friday. Lost on Saturday without Trey against Denver. Georgia, the White Walkers, things not going so well now for Mike White's bunch. They lost 82-57 in College Station, and Hoyt's convinced that I did this to Mike White's team.
Because, you want Brandon beat you on him?
Well, he says when I started calling them White Walkers is when things turned bad. I don't think the timeline syncs up that way.
It's his way of being dismissive, like, I'm not going to watch him, but I'll give him a cute pet name, and we'll see if something happens come March. That's what he does all the time.
Well, you're getting triggered. You're the one who's triggered right now. That's interesting. Why are you what's with that tone?
Because we're 1-5 since you started calling him the White Walker. Okay, but stop doing that.
You're making it personal right now. You're the one. It sounds personal to you. That's what I'm hearing from you is a personal thing with me.
I'm always triggered.
Right. So why are you, your tone. You're the one who's got the tone right there.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, yes, I am.
Told you. Georgia Tech lost. Does it matter? Yeah, Georgia Tech lost again, this time to NC State. 72-64. Congrats. Josh Pastner's team has now lost 9 in a row. They're 1-12 in the ACC. They will host Notre Dame coming up Wednesday night. They might not win another. Actually, they haven't had a conference game against like Florida Tech.
There's a real, real desire for him to get into next season.
Okay. Good luck.
Okay.
Chuck, I think they play a team called Florida Tech. Did you know that was a school?
I think that's the Panthers.
Is that a real school? Sounds like something you'd make up in a movie.
I think. They're the Panthers.
Could they lose that game?
No.
I can see them winning that game.
Well, no, sports, anything can happen.
I can see them losing that game. They play Florida Tech February 18th.
What is the mascot?
They are the Wild Bears. Dog.
Bears?
Panthers.
Panthers. Everybody say hello. Chuck knew.
Got to the bottom of something right
so
there.
They should handle that. There's a real desire to. They just spent a lot of money on football, dude. Of money on football.
Jay Batt, I don't know you very well, Jay. I got news for you. You bring this guy back, you're going to lose a lot of faith in the AD.
Have printing plates on campus. They're smart. They're not that smart.
I got three words for you. Figure it out. And you got triggered right there. You were upset. You made it personal with Jay Batt.
That's interesting.
I'm always triggered.
It's time to wing it. Presented by WNB Factory. Serving up Atlanta's best wings and burgers with over 60 locations. Find yours at WNBFactory.com.
All righty, then we'll take your winging it idea answers at the Harrah's. Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Simple question today. He should have been better. And the reason I brought this up, we talked about Riddick Bowe about 20 minutes ago. And Riddick Bowe was a fighter in the 90s who had a great record. He was 43-1. But Riddick couldn't get his life situated out of the ring. He should have dominated the heavyweight division. Evander shouldn't have ever beat him. Mike Tyson couldn't have stayed the ring with him. Lennox Lewis shouldn't have been in the same. Like, Riddick was this massive humanity that was this punching power freak. Should have been better. And he was a champion. Don't get me wrong, but should have been better. Charles, do I have to introduce you? What do you got there? Turn my mic on.
Magic Johnson is a talk show host. He's so friendly and engaging, big smile. Everybody loves him, and it just was not. And all he had to do was talk to people.
Who was a worse talk show host, Chevy Chase or Magic? It's close.
See, I had expectations because, again, Magic, friendly, big smile, everybody loves him. Chevy had a reputation as an a-hole already. Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be able to do the comedy bits better, and at least some of that stuff, though, no?
It's a talk show. All Magic had to do was talk, and it was bad. I was a Magic fan.
You got triggered again right there. I heard you. Brandon Joseph.
I'm always triggered.
He should have been better.
Former Major League pitcher Chris Benson.
It's a very Clemson zone, right?
Yep.
He got with that Anna?
Anna Benson, and now is married to Hank Blaylock's ex-wife.
He married Hank Blaylock?
His ex-wife.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did she beat him with a high heel?
No, that was Tony Kattan beating
Anna Benson.
I think that was Tony Kattan who beat Chuck
Finley.
She did
get domestic against him.
Domestic. They had an issue.
Was it a high heel, though?
She told him on the record if he cheated on her, she said she would have sex with every one of his teammates and the bad boy.
Seems like a fair response. Is there an order of that?
You were already married to her at that point, and
does she go the infield to the outfield? How does she do that?
I don't know, ma'am.
Dan Matthews, he should have been better.
Harold Miner.
Baby Jordan. Pretty in college at USC, I'll tell you that much. Brian Montravius Hoyt, he should have been better.
Joe Smith.
Number one pick in the draft, Maryland's own. I think he lives in Atlanta now. He might be listening. Huh? Way to offend him. You'll send your answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to go to Baltimore and try to find out the latest on what they're hearing about Lamar Jackson's future and whether or not that includes leaving Baltimore. We'll get to the bottom of that in 15 minutes. Coming up next, though, you'll hear two very intriguing reasons why Lamar to the Falcons makes a lot of sense.
Because of that blunt?
I didn't have that on my list.
Because of the whores?
The blunt and the whores? No.
It makes a lot of sense, and it'll make a lot of dollars. We'll talk about it next. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Monday right here with us. The 3 o'clock hour of the program is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast that's posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header, or at thisstuffmatters.net. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we will go to B-more. It's Baltimore, but we'll go to Baltimore to find out what they're hearing about Lamar Jackson's future there. The whispers of him leaving town. Does he get franchised? Will they work out a deal? All of it.
The 613.
Is that right? Is that the actual area code? That was very good. You made me believe it. We'll talk to a gentleman by the name of Rocco DeSangro.
I don't know that person.
Well, we'll meet him together, Chuck. He's the anchor and reporter for Fox Baltimore.
I don't know anything about him.
We'll find out about him together.
White, black, tall, short, fat, thin.
Doesn't matter. We're only caring about his information. We'll get to know Rocco coming up in 5 minutes. But first, I wanted to start with some Lamar Jackson discussion. And the audience by now probably knows, if you've been listening, where I stand on this. It's pretty clear I want Lamar Jackson. I don't want to settle for a middle-of-the-road quarterback. I'll pay any price, and I know what the price is.
Matt said he wants to give a liver, not a kidney.
I would. If they want internal organs from me, as that's how much I care about the Falcons, I would give up whatever they want. You want a kidney, a liver? What do you need? I got extra stuff in there. I don't need it. But I'm very clear. Give up whatever you have to. It's the most important position on the field. And I know everybody's going to be like, well, that's going to put us back in the salary cap jail. No, it won't. If you spend wisely on the other stuff around Lamar and get those right and don't overpay the running back or don't keep paying the wide receiver or don't pay the middle linebacker and the two corners, you'll have money to spend.
What are you projecting here or reading is 7-3, 30-ish? I mean, I have no idea. I was thinking 10-400.
6 years, and I don't know that he's going to get fully guaranteed. We'll talk to Rocco from Baltimore in a couple of minutes about it. I don't know if he's going to get the full. He might ask for it, but I think he's going to get 200-plus guaranteed off a 6-year deal that's going to top what Deshaun Watson got. He should want that. That's what all the quarterbacks should want. And that's fine with me. I have no problem with that.
He's been hurt, and he wasn't.
We've gone round and round to this. You're getting triggered again. Here's the deal.
Until he gets his contract, he's not going to bust ass fully.
Here's the deal.
That happened at the end of the season, by the way. That wasn't me.
Come here. You're getting triggered again.
I'm always triggered.
You're getting triggered again. Lamar.
Just trying to be interesting.
On the field. Makes perfect sense. 45-16 record. He plays the perfect style for Arthur Smith. All of that makes sense. Off the field, it would be a business boon at the box office.
Yes.
For the Falcons. Now,
exciting, the place to be suddenly.
Which they need. Let me play for you a couple of quick cuts. One from Chris Sims. This is a part of Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio. This is the football side of things. Why Sims? Well, I'm a big Sims fan. I don't necessarily always agree with him, but I believe his stuff on quarterbacks. I think he watches as much film as anybody else. Here he is talking about why Lamar would just fit perfectly in Atlanta.
Man, I mean, Atlanta would be perfect for Lamar Jackson. They want a trade partner and do something like that. They want to run the ball, play smash mouth football, and now you got a guy that's, like the offense they tried to run this year with Marcus Mariota, except this guy's way faster and a better thrower and a better quarterback and a superstar. That's another one where I just go, that'd be one of the teams I'd look at, you know, as far as Lamar, and just got a little star next to it to go, I could see that maybe happening.
Chuck, little star right beside the Falcons. In Mobile, they're talking about it. Chris Sims has put a gold star by it. I'm on it. We're seeing the momentum build, the Lamar to the Falcons.
I have a question, but yes. I need you to fill in one detail first.
Sure.
The money's the money, regardless of who he plays for.
That's right.
What would be the compensation to the Baltimore Ravens from Atlanta?
So I'm going
to
guess you're dealing with a couple of first-round picks at least.
All right, fine. Stop, whatever. And then stuff that comes after that.
Yeah, there's more
and
stuff.
And then you have to pay him, and like I said, the money's the money. Yeah. Baltimore already has him, and it doesn't cost him any draft picks, and they're not going to give him that contract. Why is that?
That's a philosophy.
Okay.
I mean, that's what that is.
And that can be the right or wrong philosophy. Sometimes the team is wrong.
That's Bisciotti and his philosophy. He might be right. He might be wrong. I think Arthur and I think a lot of other owners might be more than willing to write the check and say.
And by the way.
But here's how we know we're right. Chuck, they were going to do it to Deshaun a year ago. Not to the guarantee that Deshaun got, but they were going to pay Deshaun Watson money they didn't have.
I want to be so crystal clear on my opinion regarding the Falcons and any alleged real pursuit of Lamar Jackson. Oh, you do it.
and I virtually don't care about the price tag, even if you weren't sitting pretty so much in the with free agent money. Mm-hmm. If you have a chance to acquire this guy, a quarterback, hell yeah, do it. All right, now, what did it cost me? New sentence. It is risky for so many reasons, and it is franchise debilitating if this blows up. Not because Lamar's not talented or what. If this doesn't work for whatever reason, ACL, coach, what? If this doesn't work, oh, like you're done. Okay. You're done. Your Denver Broncos done.
The counter to it is.
And they got Sean Payton. They're done.
The counter, and I'll give you a counter. You have Desmond, and you sign Gardner Minshew to battle out. What are you for the next 3 years? 4 years? What are you?
Trying to win 9 and hope it's enough for a bad division.
Do you want that life, or do you want to go for it? Because
What did I just say? Absolutely do it.
Wait, he got triggered again.
It is risky.
You got to take risks.
And you do it.
You're yelling.
He's a quarterback. You do it.
I don't want to live in this world where it's Desmond battling Gardner Minshew, and you guys are like, oh, we'll be fine around it. We'll have good but your cap will be clean. This city is bleeping obsessed with the cap being clean. The cap, if you have people managing well who don't overvalue their own players, will always pay the quarterback and then hopefully get it right. You're not going to go into cap hell with the quarterback contract. You go into the cap hell when it's the quarterback plus the other stuff. Let me play one more. This is Chris Sims and Mike Florio discussing the business side and the side of this in Atlanta that having Lamar that would pay a lot of dividends.
You see some of the shots of the stadium in Atlanta? Big. Not a lot of people at those games.
No, that's where I think the value of a black quarterback down in Atlanta is real. It's real. I don't really give a damn what color quarterbacks are. I just look at them and go, damn, this guy's good. This guy, blah, blah, blah. But color of the skin, Atlanta, Lamar Jackson, the history of Michael Vick, all of that, that's going to put butts in the seats, to your point.
We can try to pretend that doesn't exist. The business side of it, everything that Sims just said there, it's real. They have the nicest stadium or one of the nicest stadiums in the NFL that is half empty, or if you're positive like Chuck, half full every week. And the tickets are sold and people are eating the money because they're boring. They don't have a face. They don't have whatever you wanted to describe the reason to get you to schlep to Mercedes-Benz. People don't do it. And Sims is 100% right.
Two things here. I've been in Atlanta my whole life. Everything in Atlanta has always included race. That's not a bad thing always. So there has always been an element to it. And so he's right in his statement about that. It's not exactly when Mike Vick took over, but it's not so far off.
No, it's not far off at all, but it's almost the perfect storm of a young guy, superstar.
We found out when Mike Vick was exiting the team exactly how much was involved.
I think it was heightened at that point. I think it was always there. There was a collection of people in this city that
curtains were opened.
That were serious, though, about Doug Johnson should play. That stuff happened during sports talk radio shows. There was Matt Schaub stuff that happened. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't DJ Shockley get a fair shot? There was, all of that talk was real. And so, yeah, it's just what it is, whether it's the mayor or politics, whatever it is. That's Atlanta. That's fine.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
All right, let's go to Baltimore to find out what the talk there is on the Lamar front. Let's bring in Rocco DeSangro, who is an anchor at Fox Baltimore, is kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker Line.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Rocco, how are you?
Fellas, what's going on? Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Well, we're glad to have you. And, like, you know, you'll see stuff on social media and, you know, we'll hear the NFL insiders talking. But I wanted to get somebody boots on the ground, as they say in Baltimore. Let's start with the broad stuff here with Lamar. From a, like, ownership standpoint, what is Bisciotti and what is the Ravens philosophy and why won't they do the guarantees with Lamar?
The Ravens run their franchise like a well-oiled machine, and it's for the Ravens, just like when Joe Flacco, he wanted that big contract, he wanted all that money. For Steve Bisciotti, for this front office, they're saying to Lamar, all right, go out and prove it. And if Lamar does that, he will, I guarantee you, get the money that he wants. Right now, though, the Ravens are in a position. Their defense, they just added Roquan Smith, and they gave him a deal. People were thinking that Lamar might get that deal first, and then they might get Smith after. But you know what? They took care of Roquan Smith. He right now is the heart and soul of the defense, even though he's been there for half a year. And now everyone's looking at what's going to happen with Lamar. You see the reports. You see the outside noise. You see that he wants a certain amount of money, and he's not getting that money. But right now, the only people that know what kind of money Lamar Jackson wants are the people that are sitting at the table. That's Steve Bisciotti. That's Eric Acosta, the GM. That's John Harbaugh. That's Lamar Jackson and his mom, who is his representation because he doesn't have an agent right now. So right now, we really don't know what kind of money Lamar wants. According to reports, he wants upwards of, you know, what Deshaun Watson is getting, that guaranteed money, or even Aaron Rodgers. But I'm not sure if Lamar Jackson is going to see that type of money because the Browns, they really reset the quarterback market with that deal.
Acquiring a 26-year-old quarterback who's already won an NFL MVP award, that's not like a regular everyday thing. Give me a percentage, because this doesn't seem real to me. It's like, you know, hey, if I win the Powerball, I'm like, okay. But tell me if this is a real thing, because, like, the quarterback you acquire at this stage of his career is Jake Plummer or, like, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, so as far as that goes, as you're talking Lamar potentially getting traded, correct?
Yes. What is the chance this is a real, that this actually could happen to anyone, not the Falcons, to anybody?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure right now, honestly. I think it's a very small percentage because you talk to guys in the locker room, you hear Mark Andrews talking at the Pro Bowl, and these guys really want Lamar Jackson to be a Raven for life. Marlon Humphrey, he went out and tweeted, and he's hilarious on social media. He's like, I was trying to recruit guys to come play for us, and everyone was asking, are you going to pay Lamar? And that's the biggest thing right now, not just with the Ravens, but possibly in football, is this guy, aside from Tom Brady, the only unanimous MVP in NFL history, is he going to get a big-time contract? So the Ravens right now, they hold all the chips because they could franchise tag him this year, and then they can franchise tag him next year. I'll say this, once the franchise tag window opens February 21st, and then they have until March 8th, we're definitely going to get a better idea. And then when we get to OTAs, that's when we're really going to find out. Because Lamar, he didn't come to voluntary OTAs this season, and it was a big storyline. It was a big deal. But then he showed up for mandatory camp. Now, if we get to that point and he doesn't show up for mandatory camp, then it's a real possibility that the Ravens could say, all right, maybe we got to trade this guy right now. But I really don't see that happening. I think it's a very small percentage.
Rocco DeSangro is with us, a sports anchor, reporter for Fox Baltimore. He's with Chuck and Charnoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. What has the fan response been? Is it split? Is it universal? We love them. Is it don't pay them? What have they been saying?
Ravens flock, I think a lot of them, the majority, would say they want Lamar here in Baltimore for the long haul. And there are fans that are saying, you know what, they say he's injury prone because he's had the injuries the last two seasons towards the end of the season, and he hasn't finished it off. But this guy's a generational talent. What he's able to do, the Ravens built their offense around Lamar Jackson. And you take Lamar Jackson out of the equation, and this is a much different looking football team. Lamar Jackson's like, you just don't get them every single day in the football world. So Ravens flock, I would say for the majority, I would probably go maybe like 75%. It's hard to put a percentage on it. Would like to see Lamar Jackson here for the long haul, and they'd like to see him finish out his career as a Baltimore Raven.
I read Twitter a lot, so I'm almost an expert. It seems that negotiating a rookie contract is like, where were you drafted? 27th, but there's no but. You're 27th. Here's your money. And there can be offset or whatever, but kind of your rookie contract is easy. I get not having an agent. This second contract is anything but easy. Is he costing himself? I mean, when you wind up with whatever he wants, $300 million guaranteed. But is there anything, like, what has been the downside? What money has he cost himself by not really having representation?
I think right now both sides are costing themselves by him not having an agent. For Lamar not having an agent, it's tough for the Ravens to kind of say and pull him aside during the regular season and say, hey, Lamar, this is what we want to do. Because at the beginning of last season, he was like, or this season, sorry, the season's not over yet. Lamar was like, we're going to stop contract talks once the regular season begins. I want to focus on football, and I firmly believe that he meant that. But I'll say this. Eric DaCosta was negotiating with Roquan Smith during the regular season. So I'm really not sure. I think with Lamar, NFL agents, they know what they're doing. They know the business side. They know the ins and outs, and they know how much money that you can get and how much money you deserve. And right now, I'll say this in any business, for you guys, for myself, for anyone out there listening, when you're looking at your job and you're looking at other people in the same job but maybe at a different place and they're making more money than you and you feel like you're better than them and you deserve more money. Like, we've all been there. We all compare ourselves to other people at times. It's really hard not to do that, but that's just how life is. And for Lamar, he's saying, I want this kind of money. And an NFL agent could tell him, hey, Lamar, like, you can get this type of money. The Ravens can give you this type of money, and you could go out and win a Super Bowl, or they're going to give you this type of money, and you might never win a Super Bowl because they're not going to be able to spend on the resources that they need. And this guy, he needs weapons right now. The receiving core, it's been beat up, and quite frankly, even when they've been healthy, it's just a lot of these guys right now, they'd be number twos or number threes on any other team in the National Football League. So he needs weapons to throw to. He needs a solid offense around him. Right now, the defense is coming together. But for Lamar, he needs some offensive weapons right now. And I'm telling you, an agent could tell you, hey, this is what you can get right here.
Rocco, what was the reaction to Lamar not playing in the playoffs? Because there was a lot of chatter, and that's all it was, but chatter that he was using his contract stuff as a reason not to put himself out there and risk getting injured. There were former NFL players who thought he was able to play and didn't go out and play. What was the reaction locally?
Man, we're talking in Atlanta right now. Michael Vick told him, go out and slap a brace on and play. Yep, and that was very surprising to hear because Michael Vick is a guy that Lamar really looks up to. He idolizes, and he's broken a ton of his records. So to hear that from a guy like that, it's like, come on, man. And you look back and you see what happened to RG3, and RG3 came to his defense. A lot of people here were frustrated, I'll tell you that. But it's from what you read on Twitter. It's the reports. Nobody but the people in the facility know what's going on. And there was a report initially that said, hey, Lamar is not going to his training, you know, his training sessions. He's not there. He's not doing this and that. And then another report came out that said, hey, Lamar is going to his training sessions. He's got 100% attendance. He's doing all the right things, and he's trying to get himself back on the football field. And I'll tell you this. We're in the locker room. I've seen Lamar Jackson at the facility multiple times, and he's been all smiles. We haven't talked to him because when you're injured, it turns into that kind of situation where we're not really supposed to go up to him and talk, and I get that. But for Lamar, like Calais Campbell even said, he's like, when I was rehabbing my knee, Lamar was in here working hard. John Harbaugh said he was working hard. Tyler Huntley, his backup, said he was working hard. And listen, I get it. You think maybe, oh, yeah, guys are protecting him. Guys are just saying this because, you know, they don't want a controversy. But I truly think that Lamar Jackson was going to his training sessions and trying to get back on the football field. And a lot of people out there made this a bigger deal than it actually needs to be. The guy's injured. He's hurt. Would you rather your guy injure his knee again further and maybe risk a career? Or would you rather him be healthy? I don't think the Ravens were going to win the Super Bowl this year anyway. I'll say that. And I don't think I'm breaking any news in saying that. But you want the guy healthy for next season too. So I don't think Lamar did anything wrong in sitting out. I think he was actually injured. And I think that people need to realize that he's a football player and he's trying to get better and get healthy.
Rocco, last thing for you. If the worst case scenario takes place, there's just a gulf. We read today, Jeremy Fowler said $100 million difference in the contract numbers. If it gets to the point where he gets franchised and says, I'm not coming, trade me. What would the response be the day they announced they've traded him to the Atlanta Falcons for 3 first-round picks and a bunch of other stuff?
I'm trying to think of days in sports where Twitter just explodes and, like, you're scrolling and you can't scroll anymore because the app just breaks. I think that's what would happen. If Lamar Jackson ended up getting traded and if he was no longer a Baltimore Raven, and if he got traded for the Falcons, like, that would be great for you guys. But this city, for a lot of people, it would almost be like – when the Colts left and went to Indianapolis and left Baltimore, there would be a pit in Raven's flock in their stomach. Their hearts would drop. And I'm telling you, man, he's been so great with people here. Fans love him. People love him. Kids idolize him. There's only one Lamar Jackson out there, and this is the guy. So I'm telling you what, it would be a sad day here in Baltimore if he left.
Rocco DeSangro covers all things Baltimore there for Fox, the Fox affiliate in Baltimore. Rocco, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Guys, I really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocco. So I learned that the Ravens have a flock. Now, if Lamar came to the Falcons' den and left the Raven flock, that would be a different set of circumstances. I did not know that, so thank you to Rocco. That would be, you imagine, like the face of your, oh, yeah, we did have that happen with the face, but he didn't get traded. He went off in handcuffs. It was a different sort of pit in our stomach. A little bit different. All right, coming up next, old man football takes a break for this Super Bowl weekend.
Your grandmother smells like feet.
It's not necessary. We'll check in with front office Los, more than just that, to get his thoughts on the Super Bowl, some naughty numbers to look forward to with the Chiefs and the Eagles next. Feeling kind of super, right? It's Super Bowl week. Just the boys hanging out. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks so much for dialing us up, whether it's on the FM signal, which is booming today, which is on the AM, which we're still on AM, making AM cool.
That's a great point, Matt.
Thank you, Chuck. And we're on the mobile app, which is apping worldwide for your enjoyment.
The signal is failing.
Not at all. It's booming. Fans of the, well, this says fan, so I'll just say fans of the Fan. The 6-8 of the Fan 30th anniversary rolls into February with our next big trip.
Because at Atlanta Sports Travels, they go big.
No, this is, no. We're supposed to tease this, Chuck. The next big trip is just around the corner. Tune in to 680 The Fan in the Locker Room starting Monday morning, February 13th, to learn how you could find yourself with your toes in the sand, a beer in your hand, watching the Braves from the stands.
Oh, snap.
Stay tuned to 680 The Fan as we continue to celebrate.
Trips for sports or something like that?
We celebrate 30 years of sports talk dominance in the ATL.
Ooh, naughty numbers.
He's the man that knows the cap, bonuses, and all of that. He's the one that gets you cut. Front of us, don't give a word. He's the guy who knows the law. Can't put him against a wall. He's the guy with all the answers. Matt and Chuck are backup dancers. Front office, no, knows it all. Front office, it's
all brought to you by Entry Point Doors and Windows. You've been hearing it from your neighbors, your HOA. It's time to change out the windows in that home of yours. They can handle a project like that. They've been doing it in Atlanta for over 20 years. They're Entry Point Doors and Windows. Sign up for the free estimate, entrypointatlanta.com. Let's start, Matt. We're into Super Bowl week, so I got to give you some Super Bowl numbers as we kind of take a preview from a numbers perspective on these two teams. First off, and you're going to hear about this all week if you haven't already, this particular Super Bowl will feature the youngest combined age of starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl history.
Which I think is great news for the league, right? And you get two mobile, fun, just super, like, entertaining quarterbacks. It's nothing against watching Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, right, Los? We got used to watching stuff like that. But I think the matchup here is good for the league, and the stylistic play of both guys is good.
And it's another opportunity for pet cat Patrick Mahomes. We already realize if he was to retire, he's probably going to the Hall of Fame within his time period immediately. He is now trying to become the 13th quarterback to have multiple Super Bowl championships. And when you talk about that legacy, you know, one is good, one is Drew Brees, one is Aaron Rodgers. When we start talking about multiple, now we're starting to talk about some of the all-time teams and all-time quarterbacks.
I think you just hit on the big one, right? That we spent all this time doing the yeah, but Aaron. Like, yeah, Aaron won one, but he didn't win another one, and Drew didn't win another. Do you know how hard it is to win the second one? And Mahomes, this will not be his last chance. I firmly believe that. But you just don't know how many you get. He is, like Los, if you ask me to rank my top 10 quarterbacks, Mahomes is firmly in the middle of it. You start adding the second and maybe more championships after it. Now you start talking about some of the great two or three or four all time.
Here's one of the interesting numbers that is, it's something to look at when it comes to Sunday's matchup. So the Chiefs ended up leading the NFL in scoring over 28 points per game and yards per play at 6.4. But why are they having to score so much? Well, they're not good in the red zone. They allowed a touchdown on 67.3% of their opponent's trips inside the 20-yard line. That was 31st in the league.
Which surprises you, right? Considering you're playing in this game, you're this good, and you're 31st.
In fact, and this was a number from ESPN Stats and Info, they were the only team among the bottom six in the league to make the playoffs as far as allowing that many touchdowns on trips inside the red zone.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. It's not supposed. That's supposed to be the reason you don't advance in the postseason. It's supposed to be the reason you lost a game in the playoffs, but clearly that hasn't been the case.
So you have the Eagles pass rush, and it's an all-time number with the 70 sacks, and we'll dive into a little bit more of that. Just think about it, 70. Okay, getting to 40 is a pretty good number in this league. They're able to get to 70, but people do point out that Dak Prescott game, where on Christmas Eve, Prescott ended up having three touchdown passes and threw for 347 yards. Now, why is that important? That was the last time that people feel like Philly faced a complete offense, somebody who could run the ball, pass the ball, and do it with a competent quarterback. Nothing against Daniel Jones, nothing against any of the San Francisco guys or anybody they face at the end of the year, but the last time they played somebody, that's what the numbers were.
I think the numbers we talked about last week, too, and there's more context needed here, Carlos, but when Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, I'll put it combined, have faced teams with QBRs in the top 10 in the league, Jalen Hurts hasn't beaten any of them yet. Now, again, that might be on the Philly defense as much as it's on Jalen, but I think he's 0-6 in those situations, whereas quarterbacks ranked in the bottom third and then outside of the top 30 in QBR, he's undefeated. So they've done the job beating those teams. This is a different animal, and I know Kansas City's got some injury concerns at wide receiver, but we know with 2 weeks to prepare, Andy Reid's going to have all kinds of stuff, that if Philly does get this job done, they're going to have earned it in a way that they haven't had to earn it before.
So here's something from Next Gen Stats and something to pay attention to over the course of the season. The Chiefs, they aligned in press coverage almost 44% of the time this season and including the playoffs. They're actually number two in the NFL at that. Well, guess who thrives off of that? Eagles receiver A.J. Brown. He might be the best guy in the league in terms of press coverage. He was averaging 4.5 yards per route when he got pressed this year. Basically, if you get in his face, he's trying to go by you.
We saw that all throughout the year. In fact, the Eagles receivers, when you give me Devontae Smith and you give me A.J. Brown, and then they throw the ball to the backside of the backfield, and Dallas Goedert, it's a ton of weapons that you kind of have to pick your poison. It's the one thing, Los, we wondered about Jalen Hurts. We knew he could be mobile, and that was going to be there. He's beaten plenty of teams with his arms down the field, and I think that could be some of the game plan on Sunday.
Ooh, I got a fun one on quarterback records overall. So here are the numbers in terms of what these quarterbacks today will accomplish. 27-18-1. That is what your Jalen Hurts number is. He's 58% in terms of his winning percentage. Then you have to go and look at Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has won 80% of the games he's played in. He's 64-16. Now, keep in mind, too, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles had a fine season. They went 14-3. Patrick Mahomes, that was an easy 14 wins for him. And so when you just talk about winning 58% of your games, you're pretty good. This other guy's winning 80%.
Los, I saw the numbers and how close. I think Field Yates had them. Both teams were 14-3 in the regular season with their two playoff wins, both 16-3. They both scored an identical 546 points. Both teams had six All-Pros, including a Kelce brother, and both were the number one seed. If you're looking for, like, the tail of the tape, it's pretty good.
A couple more stats for you just to kind of, you know, wrap your head around. First off, we talked about that Philly pass rush and how they were able to get to 70 sacks during the regular season. They also added eight more so far in the playoffs. That is now the third most in NFL history, so that's what they're doing to people. And turnovers. Turnovers in important games are always, I know it's cliche, it's a huge indicator. Here's one of the stats that's out there. So 56 Super Bowl champions. The 56 Super Bowl champions in the history of this game have given the ball away 64 times, okay? The 56 losing squads have given it away 163 times. That's how simple this game can be on Sunday.
Well, it's cliched, but the Super Bowl is a different animal and how you, like, that's why the first quarter is always a feeling out process, especially for teams who haven't been there, that you don't want to make a big early mistake. Los, you know this like I do. You'll see a situation where you'll see three or four punts back and forth before somebody finally settles in and gets in their groove like it's another game. And then we get to the fourth quarter, and how many times have we seen the crucial turnover at the goal line from Seattle against New England or any number of games, the 49ers against Kansas City, where you're like, you held the ball and took care of it all day, and then you make the big mistake in the fourth quarter, it cost you a championship.
All right, a final note, especially for those people that do like to wager on this game, and, you know, every now and then you'll read a stat and you go, oh, okay, this is how I'm going to play this on Sunday, and then something happens to bake your noodle. So SI.com, Jimmy Traina, had some notes about penalties for this game, of all things. For instance, Carl Cheffers is ranked first in total penalties called per game this season at almost 13 per game. It's 12.59. He also leads NFL refs in penalties called last season, okay? So his total in penalties given out per game is 109.94. Now, what's the penalty yards? What is it supposed to be? Your betting line is 49.5. So you think, easy over, right, Matt? I mean, makes sense. Here's the deal, though. Carl Cheffers has called 12 playoff games since 2010, and those games, The under is 11-1. So if you think you've got a line out there that you really like, just understand I can give you numbers either way that'll make you love it and also hate it at the same time.
Listen, Lois, there's no question. I saw that same number, and then I wish somebody had done the work on the quarterbacks and the offenses in the game, because 12 is a decent size as far as sample. I'd love to know who the two offenses were, because like this number, by the way, the total's up to 50.5 right now, and typically the public loves betting overs when you have offenses like this. They're going to skew that way. I would also add one more element to this, and this isn't a part of the betting. After the AFC title game, the referees had a really rough day. It was not a good look for the league. Far too much involvement, far too many sketchy misses that on this stage with this many people watching, you want the referees to be as perfect as they can every week. I think it's like even upped a little bit the bar on how good this has to be on Sunday not to make that part of the storyline.
There you go. Super Bowl naughty numbers. Bet accordingly. Play accordingly.
I feel naughty. Thank you, Los. Very good. The naughtiness of Los and his naughty numbers. Coming up next, Charles will tell you the actual goal for one sporting event we seem to mostly ignore. There's 0% chance you'll believe this one, and we'll share it next.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.